The reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. He's Todd Vandenberg, I'm Rob Steele, and I don't have a good intro for the show because it's just that kind of odd. I'm just saying, we've got an interesting show. Yes. I just don't have an intro written for it.
No.
And why bother writing something? It's not like, you know, the president has things written out that, well, actually, he probably does. They just can't read them. He had a comment this week. Actually, I'll call him Donnie. Donboy. Donboy had a comment this week about the Oscars and how can Parasite win the best picture? He didn't get it. He doesn't understand. I know exactly what the problem is. He thought it was a biopic of him, and it's not. It's about Trump's favorite people, the Koreans. That's all I can come up. That's
yeah. You would think he would enjoy. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he thought someone had done a biography of him, and he was confused when he didn't see someone with orange hair.
My eyes that slanted, Ivanka, come in here and tell me if my what? No.
Yeah.
No.
The concept of hating that the Oscars awarded the best picture to a foreign film, and interesting that his first choice was Gone with the Wind as the film that should have won.
Yeah.
What is the world like in Gone with the Wind? What would Donnie love so much about that world? Can't quite put my finger on it, but and granted,
this portion of the program is brought to you by Scratch and Sniff's new sarcasm smelling stickers.
Scumbag.
I have a Parasite question for you though, because woo-hoo. I have not seen it yet, whereas you have.
I have.
Now, the other news about Parasite that came out this week is it's getting remastered and re-released in IMAX. And I just thought to myself, is that really an IMAX movie? Because that's usually for, behold, the magnificent cinematography and special effects. And that didn't sound like what Parasite was. Or am I wrong?
You are not wrong. It would be as if they decided to re-release Annie Hall in IMAX. Wouldn't be a bad experience, but Woody Allen's movies are typically, and I'm not saying I like Woody Allen, but his movies are typically close, personal. They're about conversations. That's what they're about.
Right.
Now, there is more going on in Parasite than conversations, but it is basically a close, personal movie. It's not like it would be bad to see it in IMAX, but there is no reason to need to see it in IMAX.
And in 3D. No,
Now the 3D part would be good for certain sequences. That's insane. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they weren't going to remake it in the US and do their own version of it. And Bernie Sanders will be the head of the family down in the basement and on we go. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing, but it is an absolutely pointless thing to remaster this in IMAX. Is like you don't need to spend the extra money to get the IMAX experience, especially since about half the theaters, I think, that are allegedly showing IMAX don't really have the full-size IMAX screen, which is a ripoff anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah, don't go see Parasite by all means. It's an excellent, excellent movie. And a warning, it is a dark film. So if you don't like dark films, and no, I'm not talking about the contrast, I'm talking about the general tone of the movie. If you don't like dark movies, you ain't going to like this movie. So, as a friend at work mentioned, because she saw it and was like, huh, because she doesn't like dark movies. So, anyway, which is fine if you don't like dark movies. That's why we have The Sound of Music and Mary Poppins. Although, come to think of it, The Mary Sound Poppins. Of Music, they're fleeing from Nazis, so maybe not that great. Anyway, yes.
Coming to an IMAX theater near you.
Woo!
You know, see, for me, IMAX is for like the Star Wars types movies.
Or Mary Poppins actually would be great.
Mary Poppins actually would be cool.
It would be cool. But yes.
No, but there's Star Wars news. See,
that's my segue. I love Star Wars news.
It's brief. Rise of the Skywalker, or was it plural? It doesn't matter. It's not going to be coming to IMAX. It's already there. Actually, it might have already left there. It's coming home on March 17th for streaming. DVD is coming on the 31st. Thought you'd like to know.
That's right around the corner.
It is. Less than a month.
Yes, indeed.
So you can watch it at home on your TV. And because we also do cover some TV stuff, I wanted to bring this up because it interested me a lot. Having to do with Sky TV, which is where a lot of people get their TV from in Europe.
They do.
Sky TV in Germany is dropping the WWE and replacing it with AEW.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. That's... Wow.
World Wrestling Entertainment, which is the big thing where John Cena and Hulk Hogan live and all that crap. Their ratings have been dropping on their two big shows. And AEW, All Elite Wrestling, which is a new up-and-coming thing, is doing really well.
Yes.
To the point that, you know, if the WWE is getting kicked off of a network of this caliber, that's a big shift in the whole TV thing, not just wrestling.
A
change is coming. Winter is coming.
That's a huge shift. I mean, imagine back in the day, and granted, it's not in the U.S. because that would be bigger news for us because we're in the U.S. But imagine if that had happened 20 years ago and WCW is rising and all of a sudden you turn on your Comcast cable or Charter or whatever, but it would be one of them because this is one service. And Raw is gone, and they have WCW Nitro instead. Wow. That's amazing.
Changes the landscape, and all of a sudden you don't have The Rock as the biggest person in the history of TV, movie, money-making.
And, of course, that's really the reason why they're pulling that move on Sky TV. Is it just for Germany?
It's just for Germany for now.
For now, exactly.
There is rumors that it might be happening in the UK as well.
Wow. Because that's why it's happening, like I said, because they don't have The Rock. They don't have Stone Cold. They don't have anybody comparable to those. And, you know, they keep on pushing...
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, well...
Which you kind of have to say that way. It was, oh, God, it's him again.
Yeah. And apparently, aren't they pushing Hogan versus... Help me with the...
I saw that they're pushing Hogan, went, I don't care, and didn't bother reading the article.
Hogan. And granted, they're pushing him, The Fiend. Sorry, Wade Bryant, couldn't think of his name.
No, Bryant. I know that's Goldberg.
Allegedly.
Goldberg is taking on the Fiend at the next pay-per-view.
Oh, well, similar. I love Bill Goldberg. But that's what you're pushing right now?
Yeah.
Bill Goldberg?
Really?
And there were rumors going around that Hogan would be involved. And it's like...
Hogan is coming back to do something. I can't remember what.
Hogan should not be involved in anything. But the guy's 20 years past being a bankable star. Yeah. I mean, compared to what you really should have. That tells you everything about WWE. And it's shocking that they made that move to just pull it off the air in Germany on Sky. But... It totally makes sense. Like you said, the ratings are going down, and God, give people a reason to watch it. AEW is giving people a reason to watch.
You know, and for those of you who thought I tuned into a movie show and we're talking wrestling, there actually is a reason for that. You watched a movie this week that has to do with wrestling.
It does indeed. It has to do with wrestling and the WWE. And this came out a while ago, and we talked about the movie. Neither one of us had watched it yet because it had just come out. We were talking about going to see it. And I finally watched it last night. And I only mentioned it to Robin Prepro. There you go, Ted. There's the mention. And I wasn't going to review it because I could have sworn Rob had reviewed it. And Rob said, no, you did.
I thought you did.
So now we will finally review the movie Fighting With My Family.
Now coming to the ring.
Yes, how strange.
We both kind of went, oh, crap, forgot about that.
And this has been available for streaming for quite a while. For those of you who have Hulu, it's free on Hulu because you already paid for Hulu. And if you have the Disney Plus giant package with Hulu and ESPN Plus included, there you go. But otherwise, you can rent it from or buy it from any of the other joints. So, Fighting With My Family. It is the story based on the true tale of Paige, who is... Is she currently still the GM of Raw?
No, that was...
She's no longer. That was a while ago.
Not anymore, but she's still around, I think.
Oh, yeah, she's still around. Anyway, she is one of the primo female wrestlers in WWE, and this is based on her story. It is quite a good story. They hyped this by showing The Rock in clips, which would make you think, oh, The Rock's going to be in it a lot. Although if you really think about it, you know, no, The Rock's not going to be in it a lot because they're just showing The Rock in a clip. So you'll go watch the movie. He's in it halfway between in it a lot and in it in a clip to make you watch the movie. He's got a couple big scenes. So don't watch it if you love The Rock, because you're not going to see The Rock a lot. But if you enjoy wrestling, you totally should watch this movie. So it's the story of Paige. She is from Great Britain. Her family is into wrestling. Her family has been wrestling for next to forever. She has a very odd and colorful family, which is quite fun to watch what's going on with them. She's been wrestling basically since, they've been wrestling since she was three. She actually got into the ring when she was 13 years old because someone didn't show up and they needed a match. And dad said, go. And she did. And loved it ever since. So fast forward to the age of 18, she and her brother, who also wrestles, Zach Zodiac is his ring name. WWE is coming to England for tryouts. They go to the tryout camp. It's awesome. It's fun. Vince Vaughn does a great job. He is just a side character. He's a scout for WWE. And he calls everyone. He says, if I call your name, you're coming with me to NXT camp. Paige, everyone else, thank you very much. So she is the only one selected, which is a great scene. She's the only one selected out of about 20 people, almost all of them guys, including her brother. Her brother's not thrilled about it. It's not that he's angry, but he's just, these are his dreams. He's the headliner in their little local show. He's the best wrestler in their camp, and yet he's not selected. Paige is, and Paige doesn't want to go. And finally, her brother says, no, you got to go. Don't be stupid. So she goes. So she fights through all the problems of NXT, and it's just difficult, obviously, to make that change, because she's going from a pretty big fish in a little teeny pond to one step away from the WWE. So it just follows her rise. And if you follow wrestling, you know, obviously, she made it to WWE, because, heck, we just said so. So spoiler alert. And anyone who's watching this movie, I would imagine you probably knew that. Even if you don't know wrestling, this is the kind of movie. So, you know, but the path that she follows, it's really well done. It's very interesting. Her interaction, especially with three other divas, as WWE liked to call them at the time, is extremely well done, because I expected it was going to be the typical, oh, there's the bad girls and they're going to be mean to our little Paige. And that's not how it plays out, which is very well done. It's just the interaction between her family. She jumps back and forth, her rise up the ranks. The Rock shows up again because he's The Rock. And he's The Rock, so obviously he gives a really good performance. But it's pretty cool to actually see him just playing. He plays The Rock, and he plays Dwayne Johnson, which an important distinction, and it's very, very well done. And a few other actual wrestlers that we know of pop up. And they dramatize her big moment in WWE, which I immediately, not immediately, but about 15 minutes after I watched the movie, I watched the actual match. And I have to tell you, if you're worried about the quality of the wrestling in this, the match that they recreated is actually done better than the actual match. So, so kudos to Florence Pugh, who plays Paige. She's been in like Midsummer. She is in the upcoming Black Widow movie. So she is definitely a star on a huge rise. And she does a terrific job in this film. Very entertaining movie. Highly recommend Fighting It with My Family. If you don't like wrestling, that's okay. You'll like this movie because it's a wonderful family movie. And I don't mean have the little kids watch it. I can't remember if there's any particular language. So I'm just saying it's a very cool movie about how family is important, how it's important to fight for what you believe in, no pun intended. And if you enjoy good acting, there's very good acting in this film. I was shocked because when the trailers came out, I remember we were talking about it, Rob, and it's like, oh, this looks interesting, but really? Not a whole lot of wrestling movies that are really good movies.
Yeah.
And this is a really good, it's not as good as The Wrestler, but that's a totally different kind of movie. Speaking of dark films, but Fighting With My Family, and I'm saying that again because I couldn't get the exact title. I was thinking Wrestling With The Family, but Fighting With My Family. Highly recommended. Florence Pugh is excellent. The wrestling looks really good, and it's a very cool story. And once the credits roll, hang in there because then they have clips of the actual people in the during the credit scenes, which is very, very nice. Definitely watch it.
So you've got a movie about fighting, with your family and you're not sure about the language. Mine, there's language in this. And there's fighting, just not the same way. And it's a family movie in that it's about family, but this is not for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Film I watched this week, and I've actually watched this twice because I think it's that good. It's a little 2019 film out of the UK called Dead Fred. Not Drop Dead Fred. That's a completely different movie. This is just Dead Fred. I'm fairly certain that at one point this was a play. I have found no evidence to that yet, but I mean, it's the way it's filmed where you kind of go, this, it has a feel that of an adapted play, and that's fine because it's a good play. But as far as cinematography goes, that's the film's weak spot. I mean, yeah, they had cameras and they almost know how to use them. Okay. I think they also filmed the entire thing, you know, whether it was a day scene or a night scene, I think they filmed them all during the day and just used different filters. Because sometimes you can tell they did a different take and forgot to put the filter back in. So cinematography, yeah, the weak point. The plot and the acting, however, is wonderful. Now, I'm going to change the plot slightly for the review because it'll make more sense to American audiences that way. The way you think of this movie is, this is an R-rated, for language and brief nudity / dismemberment, episode of The Golden Girls, where Sophia, who is called Julie in this particular episode, is a bit more Alzheimer's ridden, and she may or may not have been the one to kill her husband, Sal, because he's downstairs in the freezer. And in this film, Sal is called Fred. Now, the main plot is Sophia's daughter, not Dorothy, the other one, wants to commit Sophia to an old age home so she can sell the house, and she commits shenanigans with her completely ball-free husband. Yeah, I said it that way. Dorothy, Rose, and Blanche, who in this movie are called Georgianne, Julie, and Rebecca, intervene, and they also discover Sal and try to hide his body so that nobody has to go to jail. Now, during the whole thing, Sophia continues to have conversations with Sal and, oh, I need to tell Sal this. And everyone wonders through the whole movie if she really killed her husband or if it was the daughter, if it was a heart attack. They just know he's in the freezer. So they got to find out, you know, how did he die? So they take him out of the freezer and examine him, because not because they're experts, but because we've all watched CSI. How hard can it be? It's that kind of film. Dark? Yeah. Humor wise. It's not the filter on the camera. Now, every so often, this film does look like it's turning into a drama. And because it kind of goes, oh, they're talking about my heart, it feels so... Nope, that's a punch set up for a joke. This is really a comedy. Don't panic. By the way, there is a post-credit scene in this too, which explains the one mystery we have left at the end of the movie. No, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to make you watch it. Let's see, this is... a very, and I'll admit this, slow-paced movie. But it really is funny, especially the what is that in his pants bit. The characters are portrayed by some absolutely brilliant veteran actresses like Jane Howe, Judy Norman, and Susan Kidd, who have been in just about every BBC series ever. So yeah, you're going to recognize them. And Georgianne, who's played by Sandra Dickinson, who was in a few Superman movies, and she was Trillian in the original BBC miniseries version of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Indeed, yes.
So yeah, that's my short review for the film, because, you know, is it a short film? Technically, no, but it sure as hell isn't an epic. It was the winner of the Best Ensemble Cast Award at the Real Heart International Film Festival in 2019, and deservedly so. This was a fun little movie, and I have to recommend it. It's not available in the States yet. Coming soon to a streaming service near you. It really is kind of a cross between Golden Girls, Knives Out, and Clue if it were done by HBO, because there's a lot of language in this.
Oh, my God.
And most of it comes from Georgianne. And you're going to... Georgianne is my favorite character for any movie I've seen in the past several months. She's, I'll throw a scene, and this is in the trailer. I'm just setting it up a bit better. The daughter is trying to break into the house where everyone's staying, so she can sneak her mother out, but she breaks a window on the way in, so they all end up in the hallway, kind of like a Golden Girls episode, because we've seen that before, and they're all like, someone's trying to break in. Georgianne, here's a bat. Go downstairs and get him. Why do I have to be the one to go downstairs? Because you're the brave one. Yeah, you've got invisible testicles. Oh, okay, I'm off. What? Okay, it's that kind of a movie. It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. When it becomes available, we'll let you know. Or, you know, just keep an eye out for it. Dead Fred. It's an easy-to-remember title.
God, I will definitely be looking forward to that.
It's fun. You know, even
insane.
My older child who still lives at home watched it. No, the little one, I made sure she was upstairs in bed first. And my wife watched this again last night, and we all got a good laugh out of it.
Dead Fred.
Dead Fred.
At some point, coming towards you. A couple things I failed to mention. Shame on me. About fighting with my family. Stephen Merchant, director.
As Paul White.
And writer. Yeah, he's tall enough.
He
would just have to gain about 300 pounds. Yeah, Stephen Merchant wrote and directed the film. And I almost saw, I always mentioned the director. And he's like, I don't know why I didn't. But Stephen Merchant of the original, the British version of Office, is excellent. Super funny, which explains why it's a funny film. Also why it's a very good film. And for some reason, and I have no idea why, because I'm too lazy to investigate, but AJ Lee was the wrestler that Paige fought in her big match in WWE. Not played by AJ Lee, which is weird because it's not that it happened that long ago. And John Cena is in it briefly. The Rock is in it quite a bit. The Big Show, as you mentioned, is in it. So they have several actual wrestlers in there, but AJ Lee does not play AJ Lee.
I can tell you why.
Tell me why.
Because AJ Lee is married to CM Punk.
Ah, okay, that's right, I forgot. And that's the tie-in, which is why she wouldn't do it.
And that's why she's not there anymore.
Although you would think he would say, honey, this would be like, I don't know, $100,000, $250,000, whatever they were going to pay her. But, so, yeah, she's not in the film. But that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Zelina Vega plays AJ.
Darn you, politics.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, and we're back to Trump and Parasite again.
And
we're not doing that again.
What is the movie that CM Punk is in? The Girl on the Third Floor, The Lady on the Third Floor, or something like that? Which is, not seen it, but apparently is supposed to be quite good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll review that next week.
Maybe.
Or maybe we'll just go ahead and tell you that that's a good title for you when you get out and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that,